I became Resources Minister in late March, so this issue had been going for a number of years, and yes, there were. I was acutely aware that there were arguments on all sides of the debate. I committed very quickly to ensure that I used the winter recess of the Parliament to genuinely come out and listen to all sides of the debate. Now, what became clear during the course of that debate and reading various reports about gas supply and demand, not just today but over a longer period of time, is that we needed to find a balance. And given the significance of the food and fibre sector to the Victorian economy, given the significance of that that part of the economy in terms of Victoria's future position, it was very difficult with a range of questions that couldn't be answered in relation to particularly the environment around water, water supply, water usage, and impact potentially on water, underground water aquifers. To come into areas such as the Otway Basin, the Great Southwest, the state, and across to Gippsland, to actually understand that they are some of our very premium areas for agriculture, and not be impacted. There are a couple of things that stood out in those discussions, and one was very simply this, that the environment is the economy in regional Victoria. If you compromise the environment, you compromise the economies, both in regional Victoria and for the Victorian economy. So, yes, I listened very, very clearly to the industry as well, and we will work with industry around their needs in the future. But I think on balance we've made the right decision as a Victorian government, made the right decision based on listening very carefully over 30 different meetings, reading various reports and having a look very closely at the report of the Parliament on unconventional gas, which in a way, whilst it was laden with submissions, there were a number of minority reports, which meant that we still had a very big task in order to try and find a landing and, as I've indicated, the right landing in terms of a balanced position for Victoria.
So now, all around Victoria, people still have gas, you know, heating in the houses, and we use gas,
yes,
basically. So isn't it just sending the monkey, so to say, over to other states where citizens there will be, you know, seeing even more fracking now because Victoria doesn't take its fair share?
Well, look, first and foremost, you've got to make a decision in the interests of your state's economy, and that's why the food and fibre argument is a very strong one. That's why the environmental arguments were very strong. We don't for a moment discount the issue of gas and gas supply. Victoria are a big user of gas, but we are a net exporter of gas also. So even in the previous government's gas task force, which was led by Peter Reith, they still made it very clear that there was a good medium-term supply of gas. The issue is that the Victorian government will support other ways to add supply to the Victorian gas network, for example, near shore, reserves in Victorian territorial waters where Origin Energy have invested quite heavily. There are reasonable prospects from my discussions with the company in relation to supplementing Victoria's gas supply. And we'll also have a look over the longer term at doing some significant geoscientific work in relation to conventional gas that has been extracted in the Otway Basin in the past without environmental concerns. But at this point, in terms of our deliberations on this issue, we're making a decision based on there not being commercial proved and probable quantities of additional gas onshore. So I understand that, again, people will want to understand and unpack our decision, but exploration licences have been issued for a good period of time in Victoria without those proved and probable reserves actually being found. So it's a different decision if you're actually turning your back initially on proved and probable reserves as opposed to the potential that might exist. And that's really what we'll go and do the geoscientific work over the next number of years out to 2020 when the moratorium on conventional gas has been extended to actually determine what might be available in the area of conventional gas.
Now, gas is a fossil fuel, and just yesterday the Take Two pledge was announced that we are heading towards a carbon-free society in 35 years. So what does that mean for you now in terms of seeing wind and sun and other things as a resource? You're the Minister for the Resources.
I mean, clearly Victoria is leading the way in the area of renewable energy and have set clear targets, in particular out to 2025, to have 40% of our supply of energy from renewable sources. That is the right approach. If you're serious about a clean environment and the impacts of what we've done in the past, you really need to be serious about opening up your state for investment in terms of transitioning your energy sources to the renewable space. Any government that is not doing that is not serious about the environment. That's my point of view, and that's the Victorian government's point of view. Of course, we are in a period of transition, and transition will take a period of time. So we will have a reliance on gas and other fossil fuels in terms of supplying our baseload energy needs for a period of time now, but we have set ourselves deliberately on a path in relation to lifting our level of renewable energy, and that is the right policy approach.